Welcome back to Creating Thriving Partnerships, an advanced course with Mark Michael Lewis. This is session number 13, Artistry in the Yes Dear Process and the Coaching. This is the fourth of four sessions that we're doing on the Yes Dear process, which is the central tool of the fourth key of thriving partnerships, respect or evolving partnership. When we combine it with sessions 2, 3, and 4 on right thinking, presuming positive intention, and the synergy process, this is the seventh of 7 sessions on respect. And this session is about how to use everything we've learned so far with artistry. In the previous 3 sessions, we introduced the idea of boundaries and showed how they connected to our emotions. Then suggested that by using the message and the motivation of the emotions to get back to the boundaries, we could actually use our emotional problems as the solution to creating thriving partnerships. In the process, we introduce the triad of respect, which includes our agreements, our emotions, and our conversations as the fundamental building blocks with which we will create thriving partnership. Then we introduced a 5-step process so that we could leverage that triad by having a conversation that uses our emotions to refine our agreements. This yes, dear process consists of first saying yes to our emotional upsets by approaching them through the first 4 keys of thriving partnership: reality, reason, responsibility, and respect. Then D for declaring whether or not we think that the emotional upset is in response to a broken rule or an unspoken rule, and clarifying the same with our partner. Then E, exploring the emotion to get down to the boundary issue. Then A, to make amends if we've done something to rupture the integrity of the container. And then R, recommit to the existing rules or renegotiate new rules to integrate what we've just learned about our boundaries. By using this yes, dear process, we transform potentially destructive emotional conflicts into the gateway towards deeper partnership. We have a conversation that honors our emotions and clarifies our agreements. We manifest the triad of respect. In this session, we want to give you some tools for artistry around the Yes Dear process so that you can leverage its power with skill and grace, and at the same time avoid the common pitfalls that come in these kinds of conversations. So here are 5 tools for artistry or artistry constraints in using the Yes Dear process to create thriving partnership. First and foremost, the fundamental rule for artistry in using the Yes Dear process is to honor the partnership as you're getting information. Remember, the purpose of a thriving partnership is for both of you to thrive and for your experience of partnership to be an expression of thriving. So put the thriving of your partnership before trying to clarify some information with your partner. Honor your partner as a person first, as a living human being right there in front of you who wants love and respect just like you. In order to create thriving with your partner, this human being in front of you, treat them with the respect and consideration that you offer a partner in your life. Treat them with courtesy and caring, and put this partnership first, then mental understanding and comprehension second. Just like when we steady our stance and get solid first, before we actually pick something up. And it's important to make this clear because sometimes we get so focused on clarifying the boundary issues and dealing with the emotions in question, we forget to treat our partner the way that we want to be treated. And while the yes, dear process is about getting down to the information involved so that we can refine our agreements so that they fit us better, always remember that it's in service of the us. Creating more thriving in your partnership is the goal and the purpose of the yes, dear process. The information is just a means towards that. So it's important to remember the purpose and not get lost in the process of getting information in a way that you disrespect your partner. And unfortunately, this is really common given the right-wrong culture that we're brought up in. If we're not careful, we get lost in victim self-righteousness and try to prove a point and get some information, and we end up being jerks to our partner. So as the fundamental move of artistry in the Yes Dear process, honor the partnership as you seek the information. Ask your questions, certainly, but ask them from a place of respect and consideration. Please, don't use this Yes Dear process as the opportunity to be a jerk to your partner. Remember, we're saying yes to reality and reason and responsibility and respect. To bring this home, I want to talk about two key ideas about how we can honor the partnership as we get the information, or perhaps how we can avoid sacrificing the partnership in order to get the information. And those two ideas are, first, connecting around the motivation of an emotion before clarifying its message. And second, recognizing that arguing is a losing move. So, the first way to honor your partnership is to connect around the motivation of an emotion before you clarify its message. Match and mirror the motivation first so they can feel that you're feeling them, that you get what they're feeling. Then give voice to the message behind the emotion second. If you try to skip the motivation, the emotional energy part of the emotion, and go straight to the message, they typically won't feel like you understand what they're feeling. So first, connect with the motivation, then clarify the message. The second way to honor the relationship before the information is to recognize that arguing is a losing move, or perhaps self-righteous arguing is a losing move. And let's be honest, most all argument is self-righteous argument or ends up there pretty quick. Because arguing, in general, is about you being right and the other person being wrong. The perfect formula for the victim self-righteousness dynamic. And so if you're in an argument, when you win the argument, you lose the battle for thriving in partnership. In a clever phrase, with arguments, when you win, you lose. In fact, we could say that arguing is the classic form of putting the information before the relationship. When you win an argument by proving that your partner's wrong, you win the battle of that particular piece of information, but you lose the war of building partnership. The more you win, the more you lose. And let's be honest, do you ever really win an argument? Or at best, do you just get the other person to capitulate after a while, even as they mutter under their breath about how they're still right and how you're a jerk? I mean, if arguing wasn't so widespread, if everybody didn't do it most of the time in relationship, and if it didn't have such tragic results in terms of partnership and intimacy and enjoyment and fun, it would be comical. But when it comes down to it, it's rarely comical. It's mostly tragic. So don't do it. Don't argue with your partner. It's a losing move. Instead, remember a right-right context and do your best to establish how your partner is right and how you are right. Start and finish from the perspective that they have the right to think what they think, feel what they feel, and want what they want. Your job as their partner in partnership is to understand them so that they feel understood, and then work with them to find win-win solutions. That's how you win. When you stay in right-right, you don't have to sacrifice what's true for you just to understand and agree that that's true for them. In fact, the more you give them space to be themselves and take the time to understand them rather than arguing with them, if they're thinking really silly things and making pretty obvious mistakes in their reasoning, they will be most likely to recognize it when you're being cool with them about it. As you genuinely try to understand them and have them feel understood, it'll often have them rethink what they're saying and refine their position. And in the process, if they recognize that what they're thinking doesn't make sense and they change it, they're not going to feel resentful towards you. Again, we don't sacrifice information for the relationship. We just remember that the partnership is what it's really all about. We want to honor the partnership as we get the information. We put the partnership first and allow the information to sort itself out. And no worries, if you use the yes dear process, it will. Okay, so the fundamental rule for artistry around yes dear is honor the partnership as you get the information. And the two main ways that we do that are to connect around the motivation of an emotion before clarifying its message, and to remember that arguing is a losing move. We want to treat our partner with respect and consideration and care in the face of disagreement and emotional upset. Then the yes, dear process can work its magic. The more, the more. Which brings us to the third artistry constraint or tool for artistry, which is to recognize that everything in your partnership, every event or experience or emotion, is multidimensional. There are multiple dimensions through which you can understand it. And typically, you and your partner are using different dimensions to understand it. Let me give you an example to explain this. Imagine that I'm holding up a pen, and I were to ask you, what am I holding? You would, because you're a genius, say, well, you're holding a pen, Mark. And I would say, you're right. But then I might ask, well, what else is it? And someone might say, well, Mark, it's a cylinder. And I would say, yes, you're right. What else is it? And someone might say, well, it's plastic. And again, I'd say, well, you're right. What else is it? And someone else might say, it's blue. To which I would say, you're right. Obviously, the object that I'm holding has many dimensions that you can understand it through. There's a large range of legitimate stories that we can tell about it. Perhaps its function, or its shape, or its materials, or its color. Now, here's the trick question. Which is the right dimension to understand it through? And of course, there is no right dimension to understand it through. They're just different dimensions. Imagine having an argument. It's a cylinder. No, it's blue. No, it's a cylinder. No, it's blue. It would be ridiculous. It would be completely missing the point. And it's obvious when it comes to a pen because we don't have anything on the line. It's just a pen. But what happens when there's a boundary issue? And I'll give you a hint. Our boundaries and our emotions, our thoughts and feelings and desires have more dimensions than a pen. Whenever we have an emotional upset, it is a multidimensional experience. And 9 times out of 10, the various partners around that emotional upset are going to be focused on different dimensions of the issue. They're literally going to be having the argument, no, it's a cylinder, no, it's blue. And they will predictably argue about it. They're going to try to make themselves right and the other person wrong. But here's the thing. In most cases, neither person is wrong. They're both right. This is one of the main reasons why argument is a losing move. Because most of the time, arguments are about whether the pen is a cylinder or whether it's blue. Both people are right. So we just want to recognize that these issues are multidimensional and understand the dimension that our partner is understanding the issue through. We want to find out how they are right. And we want them to understand the dimension that we're looking at it through. We want them to understand how we're right. And then together as a partnership, we can decide what we want to do with this blue cylindrical pen, rather than getting into a fight about whether it's blue or it's a cylinder. And this might sound a bit ridiculous, because it is. I mean, it can also be life and death. It can be the life or death of a relationship. But it doesn't make it any less ridiculous. In the last decade or two of working with couples, of facilitating these kinds of conversations over and over and over, it comes back to the fact that most emotional conflicts have multiple dimensions of meaning. And one partner's focusing on one part of it, and the other partner's focusing on another part of it, and neither one of them is feeling heard and understood. As one of 100 examples, John is upset with Mary because Mary just isn't listening to him. And Mary is upset with John because he's being domineering and controlling. And I'm sitting across from them thinking, you know, you're both right. Mary isn't listening, and John is being domineering and controlling. And they've been arguing about who's right and who's wrong on this issue for years, locked inside of a victim self-righteousness cycle that is sapping the love and passion from their partnership. And this is the rule, not the exception, in our partnerships. If we want to get out of these endless arguments and on the road to true thriving, we need to recognize that the issue is multidimensional. It's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's about how are you right, and how can you get your partner to understand how you're right, and how are they right, and how can they get you to understand how they're right? Because when you understand what the actual multidimensional issues are, then all you have to do is create some win-win solutions. Again, it's not brain surgery, it's just thriving. And the key to that is to recognize that every issue is multidimensional. And your job is to use your partner's experience to get access to the dimension that they're looking at it through. You don't want to fight them, you don't want to argue with them, you want to understand them so that you can work with them. And I want to apologize if I get a little soapboxy about this, because sometimes it drives me crazy when I hear people arguing about this kind of stuff. It makes me want to laugh and cry and just grab them and shake them and say, you don't need to do this. When it comes down to it, it's why I created this course, because I can't do couples counseling with everybody. I don't have the time, and I'm too expensive for most people. But I want them to have this choice. I want you to have the choice of creating a right partnership where you recognize and honor the multiple dimensional nature of your partner's experience, where your partnership becomes an opportunity to learn about and understand and honor and dance with and co-create with this unique creature in front of you who sees things very differently than you, who feels different, who wants different things, but who, when you partner with them, can expand your world in beautiful and powerful and delicious ways. So again, sorry if I get a little soapboxy about it. I hope it challenges you and inspires you and provokes you to master this material so that you don't drive me crazy, okay? Okay, now, in practical and concrete terms, this multidimensionality is critical when you're using the yes, dear process, because there will often be multiple dimensions of boundaries and multiple dimensions of emotions. And the more you can remember that it's multidimensional, the easier it becomes to recognize and distinguish each dimension on its own. And we talked about this a bit with the primary and secondary emotions and the primary and secondary upsets in the issue. And multidimensionality is another way of talking about that. But what we want to do is recognize each boundary and recognize each emotion and acknowledge it and name it as a separate piece, as a separate thing. Going back to my being late for the coffee appointment, my partner might feel frustrated because they arranged their morning to be there on time and I wasn't. They also might feel disrespected, and they also might feel like they can't trust me. And they also might feel like I don't care for them. And in response, they get mad at me when I arrive, and then I might feel like I'm being lectured to as a child, and that they're questioning my honor, and that they're blowing things out of proportion and bringing back old hurts in order to justify why they're mad right now. and how this is yet one more example of how I can just never win in this relationship. Does this sound familiar? Each one of these issues has been triggered and is potentiated. It's alive in the conversation. Each one of them is real and valuable. Each is an emotion with its own message and its own motivation, pointing to its own boundary. To the degree that we can say yes to this situation and declare around being late, whether it's a broken rule or an unspoken rule, then we can explore the multidimensional nature of our responses and really come to understand one another's world. And then instead of having this being late fester and cement the self-righteousness and resentment of all of those issues, we can, in just a couple minutes, recognize and acknowledge all of those feelings, and in the process, build a level of partnership that just rocks. And again, this is all about the more, the more. You don't always have time to identify all the different dimensions, and some are typically more important and urgent than others. But the more you recognize the multiple dimensional nature of it and focus on making each other right and discovering what each other's experiencing, the more the yes, dear process can give you the thriving that you really want. Which brings us to the fourth tool for artistry around the yes, dear process, which is to honor the spirit of the agreements that you make, as well as the letter. The R step of the yes, dear process is about recommitting and renegotiating. It's all about our agreements, because our agreements are the formal structure of our partnership. In fact, I've said, and I'll say again, our agreements are our partnership. In the three spheres of thriving partnership diagram, it's that center part, the white part, where our agreements overlap with reality, that thriving partnership exists. In different terms, I've said that the us integrity is the expression of the I and the you integrity through our agreements. And I've also said that the process of creating thriving partnerships is about moving from unconscious implicit expectations into conscious explicit agreements. And you probably noticed the pattern here that our agreements are pretty darn important. But here's the thing about agreements. Our agreements are only as good as the language that we put them in. They're only as good as the words we use and our mutual understanding of those words. And unfortunately, language is a very imprecise medium. It's the best we got, but it's far from perfect. So whenever we create an agreement, it's helpful to look at what we call the letter of the agreement, which is the actual words that we use and their most obvious interpretation, and the spirit of the agreement, which is about the underlying boundary issues that the agreement is meant to honor. Because the more intimacy we have in our partnerships, the more of our self that we put on the line, the more important our agreements become, the more we count on them to protect our boundaries. And because our agreements are only as good as the language that they're in, a very smart artistry move in your partnership is to always try to understand and honor the spirit of the agreement, not just the letter of the agreement. How do you think your partner understands this agreement? And how can you honor that understanding more than just the words of the agreement? I mean, we want to honor the words of the agreement. We want to honor the letter of the law. But to create a thriving partnership, that's really not enough. We want to try to go beyond the letter to the spirit, beyond the agreement to the underlying boundary issues that gave rise to the agreement in the first place. And the more that you can do this, the better things get. Because even clear agreements can get a little bit fuzzy if you're not looking at the spirit of the agreement. For example, a common agreement in romantic partnerships is monogamy, that you're not going to have sex with anyone but your partner, which is a pretty straightforward agreement for the most part. But to be graphic about it, does that mean no penetration, or no touching, no kissing, no flirting, no emotional connection? And what would that mean? What is the spirit underlying that agreement? because it's the spirit that matters. The letter of the agreement is only designed to honor the spirit. And again, that doesn't mean the letter is not important. If you don't honor the letter of the law, you've got a broken rule on your hand, and that's going to undermine the power of your partnership. Of course, you can rebuild the partnership by using the yes, dear process and making amends, but amends are always a last resort, and you can never really count on amends. Amends are only the icing on the cake or the dessert at the end of a real meal of understanding and respect. It is not a smart move to count on an amends. Integrity to the letter of your agreements is a must if you want thriving. And we want to go beyond honoring the letter of the agreement to honoring the spirit of the agreement. Then the yes dear process becomes a powerful way to clarify the spirit of the agreement and then enhance and refine the letter of the agreement so that it honors that spirit. Remember, the information is a means to partnership. The letter of our agreements are a means to honor the spirit of our partner's boundaries, of their integrity, and honoring our spirit and our integrity. Creating thriving partnerships is about moving from unconscious implicit expectations, where our spirit is clouded and opaque, into conscious explicit agreements where that spirit can be honored and blossom and shine, where the us integrity is a synergy and an expression of the I and the you integrities, where our spirits can dance with one another through the letter of our agreements. So, these are the first four fundamental artistry constraints for the yes dear process in creating thriving partnerships. First, honor the partnership as you explore the information, especially connecting with the motivation of an emotion before you clarify its message. Second, remember that arguing is a losing move. Third, our emotional upsets are multidimensional. Acknowledge and articulate and honor each dimension. And fourth, honor the spirit of the agreements even as you honor their letter. We'll explore the fifth tool for artistry, which I simply call the coaching, in the exercise for this session. Keep up the great work. This has been session number 13, Artistry in the Yes Dear Process and the Coaching of Creating Thriving Partnerships, an advanced course with Mark Michael Lewis. Next, listen to and perform the exercises for this session.